Wednesday, March 28th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, as the majority of mainstream media is wrapped up in either discussing Stormy Daniels or trying to discredit her, as if that's hard to accomplish, which is a clear attempt to keep you focused on the wrong things, petty and irrelevant things, and much of everyone else is consumed with an onslaught of coverage in regard to Facebook, as usual, all the important news falls by the wayside. But to begin, I want to point out some things about this new story about spying, data collection, and social media. One, we have been warning you for years about what is really going on with all your data on social media, and everywhere else for that matter. So maybe it's time to start listening to all the independent media, which the establishment is currently working overtime to both convince you is fake news and find ways to censor it completely. And two, the fact that the government, in this case through Facebook, is tracking your every move and building a huge database on every one of us, and that these social media platforms, deeply tied to government intelligence, are selling all this data to the highest bidder, is nothing new. Most have just chosen to ignore it. But now all of this is hitting us smack in the face. So we need to ask ourselves both why they're now allowing this to be covered on mainstream media and what else they've been hiding from us in every regard. What about geoengineering or fluoride in the water or the effort to push us all towards city compounds and away from open land so as to be easier controlled, otherwise known as Agenda 21 or 2030? Or the truth about vaccine safety, or just the idea of a concerted depopulation effort around the world, or the reality behind the current effort to attack the Second Amendment and our ability to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government, and the outright dissolution of the Constitution itself, or the truth about the massive ongoing war efforts around the world and what they truly aim to accomplish, because it sure isn't peace, liberty, and democracy. We need to begin to recognize all the many things that were once called crazy or simply lies, yet now we can clearly see are in fact the truth. And this idea of surveillance and data collection is a perfect example. As I said in a recent show, why is it that mainstream media keeps taking old news, at least in regard to the honest media, the independent media, and repackaging it and selling it to the masses as breaking news? James Corbett just did an excellent video showing how mainstream media articles that were just released on topics claiming to be on the cutting edge of news were covered by himself, by James, back in 2015. From the Cambridge Analytica story to spying in general to Zuckerberg calling his users dumb fucks, 2015. Yet it's now being presented to you by corporate media as news today. Think about that. The real question is, are you going to shake free from this conditioned apathetic stupor? Are you going to recognize the reality that is screaming at you from just behind the scenes? Now, I know the biggest part of the conditioning tells you that this is just one case, and by and large, they have your best interests in mind. But to believe that is to completely ignore our very own history. But that is a choice we all must make. But in the meantime, let's see what's being covered up by the discussions of what some prostitute did with the current puppet in chief before he was called on to be the next perpetuator of the war machine, the one that has increased exponentially overseas despite the false promises to do the opposite. But before I jump into the stories, I'd first just like to give a little shout out to a couple people. One is somebody that I've been waiting and really trying to get a hold of for quite some time, but her name is Patty Powell. And she's somebody that's the first person to ever send me a personal check. Now, I've had this for a long time. I actually framed it, as you can see, with the letter that she sent me. And I've been unsuccessful in trying to reach out and contact her. I had no way to get a hold with her. But ultimately, the point I want to make is that it meant the world to me. And I framed it, put it on the wall, and it's something, and it was $25. It was something that clearly meant a lot to her and meant a lot to me. And I mean, that's the reason that I framed it and I hang it in my office here. But it meant the world to me. And I just wanted to shout out and say thank you more than you possibly know. And a recent one I just received from somebody named Lisa Oswald, who I've been in communication with, who sent me quite a bit in another personal check. And I just would like to say to these people that your support for what we are doing means more to us than you could possibly know. And it's people like you who take the time to put what you can into what we're trying to accomplish that truly It's why we do this in the first place. And I would just like to say thank you to you both and to all the many of you out there who are donating either on Patreon or in any other way and who help keep this going and helping us spread truth. It means the world to us. So thank you very much. First story of the day coming from the freethoughtproject.com. Cops caught running black market gun trade using badges to sell illegal guns to criminals. An investigation has revealed that in several states, police are selling the firearms they have seized back to the public to generate revenue. And in some cases, those guns are being used for other crimes. Now, this is a story we covered a few shows back about just the general idea that police are seizing firearms in states where they're being taken and then selling them cross state lines to other states, which is just completely counterintuitive to what this whole thing is about. But this story takes that a step further. And there's an entire story being revealed here where cops are literally using their badges to access guns that have been seized, you know, the kind that are being called out, AKs and all these different things, and then turning around using their badges to do this secretly and selling them on the black market. And they verified through this investigation that that many ended up directly in the hands of criminals. I mean, this is just mind-blowing to me. I mean, really, it's not surprising to me, but the fact that this is coming out, and it really highlights the real problem here. I mean, this is exactly what many have been saying since this rise in gun hysteria. More laws will not solve anything until we address the real problem, the big blue elephant in the room, and not just them, but the FBI as well. If the laws already on the books were enforced currently, these tragedies would likely not have happened in the first place. And now, while the nation is worked up by design about taking away the people's rights and adding more laws that can go unused, we have police selling the very guns they take away to the criminals on the street. Sure, call this a bad apple if that makes you feel better, but this bad apple has long since rotted the entire bunch. And I would argue that this bad apple was placed there, cultivated even to create this rotten atmosphere. But that's another conversation altogether. The point is, adding more laws to a broken and corrupt system does nothing but hurt the law-abiding populace. And taking away their rights on top of it makes sure they can do nothing about it. But maybe that was the plan all along. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com, number of children forced into slavery hits all-time high. Now, with all the political discussions and focus on this topic in recent months and feigned actions to stop it, the issue is bigger than ever, very similar to the opioid epidemic and how it only seems to rapidly increase despite the political rhetoric, which should show us a lot. And remember that this was battered down as a conspiracy theory and still is to a large degree when discussed and related to the U.S. or the elite circles involved. Yet all the evidence is there if you choose to see it. And most lead back to very powerful people and the organizations and media that cover it up. But this article is very insightful. And so ultimately, it discusses Libya and how there's an open slave trade now in Libya now. But it also covers a lot of other countries and how this is a problem that is much more far-reaching than they want anyone to recognize. Ben Swan recently did an excellent video which highlighted this exact same problem, but really did all focus on what's going on in the U.S., because that is kind of the idea that gets shrugged to the side as if it's not really true. According to a study by the Center for Court Innovation from 2016, between 8,900 and 10,500 children ages 13 to 17 are being sold in the U.S. each year. And the researchers found that the average age of victims is 15 and that each child is purchased on average 5.4 times a day. To determine a conservative estimate of the demand, the researchers multiply the lower number of the victims, 8,900, identified in the Center for Court Innovation study, by the rate of daily exploitation per child, 5.4, and then by an average of only one workday per week, 52. The result? Adults purchase children for sex at least 2.5 million times a year in the United States. As Ben Swan points out in his video, mainstream media does not treat it this way. Networks like CNN will give at least 40 days of daily coverage to stories like the missing Flight 370 in 2014. But in those 40 days of that coverage, using the math in this study, about 250,000 children were bought and abused. Now, even if that made the news, we make the mistake when the focus of the efforts to end this trafficking is only focused on how children are sold instead of also focusing on to whom they are sold, which is what I recently discussed in an interview with Melissa the Honeybee Zachariah and the recent legislation that passed the House and the Senate and awaits Trump's signature, FOSTA and SESTA, and only serve to further hide those who are the real culprits and further put the focus on the mediums they use instead. But again, that is likely the point. And to me, this further reveals the reality of the concerted effort to hide the sick underbelly of political and societal elite culture around the world that is involved in this very thing, and how these cases always lead back to it, and yet rarely seem to hold them accountable. But this video and this article are something I highly recommend you check out, because it's astonishing to see what's really going on and the lack of coverage that it's actually getting. And even more so, the actual sentencing that the criminals that do get held accountable actually see. People like Dennis Hassert, who get 13 months, while people are going to jail and prison for cannabis for years. It just really shows you that there is an effort behind this, and more so to keep these people involved in high places from ever being held accountable. Someone like Jeffrey Epstein is a perfect example. But this is something that needs to get more attention, and I highly recommend you read these and share them as much as possible. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com, U.S. demands China keep importing America's garbage. Now, this is a quick one I wanted to touch on because it's very interesting. We've touched a lot on the show about the throwaway society that we're in and how we continually buy new phones and new TVs and new DVD players and Blu-rays and just continue to throw away very useful things that certainly work, but you just want the newer, better model. And we have to consider, where do all those things go? Where do they end up? We fail to recognize that in most cases, they're simply shipped off to other countries. And even in most of those cases, marked as recycled, when in reality, they end up in some dump somewhere else in the world. Now, due to the tariffs recently on China from Trump, they're now lashing back out and saying, well, guess what? We're going to stop importing the majority of your garbage. And that's a huge problem for the United States, because they have no way to deal with all of the trash that we're producing. And that in itself should show us the real problem. Yet that's not where we're trying to focus this. We're now threatening China and saying they have to keep taking our garbage, which is kind of comical when you think about it. We're producing massive amounts of waste. And I mean, I'm not just talking about waste in general. I'm talking about, you know, products, bottles and plastic things and TVs and like lots of accumulated trash that just simply sits there and is terrible for the planet. And yet we continue to do so and try to find ways to cover it up, as opposed to trying to find solutions to a problem, a very real, very big problem that most can recognize that is going to hurt us in the very near future, and currently is. I mean, there's all kinds of studies coming out about what it's doing to the earth, and that's a whole other conversation. But the fact that they are now saying that we're threatening them to say, you have to keep taking our garbage, it's just kind of ridiculous. And really, this needs to highlight, again, the throwaway society that we live in and how we are not choosing to recognize the real damage that's being done when all we have to do is find alternatives, many that are very real and very possible. But then there's another story we'll get to later down that kind of addresses that same topic. Moving on to the next story coming out of thedailysheeple.com, boy suspended for drawing a stick figure with a gun and knives. Another quick one I want to touch on that really highlights kind of the ridiculousness of where we are in our society today. Every single boy out there remembers drawing army men or playing with army figures, or it's something that every kid does. And this kid was suspended for 2 days for drawing harmless figures of stick figures with guns and knives and a little battle on his paper. The images and all this I'll make sure and show in the show notes, like everything we discuss. But the reality here is that it's such an overreach and an overreaction. The dad is upset. That's a family that goes hunting and you know, all these different things all the time. So there's a clear connection there. But with that information, this is absolutely ridiculous. A young boy simply drawing a picture like that, it doesn't make any sense. It's clearly showing you an overreach in general and really political ideas being forced on people. But the larger point to be made here is that we're in a country that is wildly militarized and incredibly violent, and all the things that we carry out all around the world and promote it, the patriotism behind our military and how we're, you know, invading countries and bombing countries for the good of the world. And yet he draws something with a gun and yet everybody freaks out. We have to see the disconnect there, and we have to see the agenda at play behind that. And that's a story I think is important to focus on and draw attention to, and really just keep an eye on where this is going, because it is heading in a very dangerous direction. Moving on to the next story coming out of activistpost.com, 5,000 inventions in limbo and under secrecy orders at the U.S. Patent Office. Now, this is a story I was referring to and showing us simply that there are things that very well could progress the world in a very positive way, yet are being held secret for very, very nefarious reasons as far as I'm concerned. According to Stephen Aftergood from FAS, Federation of American Scientists, there were 5,135 inventions that were under secrecy orders at the end of fiscal year 2010. Under the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, patent applications on new inventions can be subject to secrecy orders, restricting their publication if government agencies believe that disclosure would be, quote, detrimental to national security. The current list of technology areas that is used to screen patent applications for possible restriction under the Invention Secrecy Act is not publicly available and has been denied under the Freedom of Information Act, which sort of defeats the purpose of such an act and confirms what I've said all along about the FOIA Act. It's just ultimately a facade. We're giving us, you know, allowing us to think that we have access to these things, when in reality, all they have to do is simply say no. It's kind of ridiculous at the end of the day. He goes on to say, most of the listed technology areas are closely related to military applications, but some of them range more widely. Thus, the 1971 list indicates that patents for solar photovoltaic generators were subject to review and possible restriction if the photovoltaics were more than 20% efficient. Energy conversion systems were likewise subject to review and possible restriction if they offered conversion efficiencies in excess of 70 to 80%. Revealing the truth of these restrictions to maintain the dependence on fossil fuels for corporate and political gain. And this is all done under the guise of national security, that ever-changing catch-all term that means whatever they want it to. Think about what this actually means. Life-changing innovations that are held under lock and key for political and self-serving interests. Think about Tesla and free energy. The only way something like this is justifiable is under this now recognizably absurd assumption that the government is inherently good and always acting with our best intentions in mind. But we know this isn't the case, at the very least, not 100% of the time. History has made that abundantly clear. Yet here we are, allowing the government with a broad stroke to keep whatever advancements they choose under lock and key. And with how deeply tied the government is with corporate America, what would stop someone from making sure a technology that makes oil dependency obsolete, or any number of other advancements that would pull the masses away from the current wildly profitable corporate-controlled status quo? How much more will it take to awaken the masses to the true nature of those who have taken control of this country? Will you allow them to use your love of this nation to condition you to blindly follow their actions under the guise that it's your patriotic duty to do so? Is that not what a surreptitious entity would do in this situation? All I ask and have ever asked is that you think critically and never, never support a group or follow a leader just because you have been taught that it's the American thing to do. If you remember the origins of this country, that which is slowly being erased, the American thing to do is think for yourself and always question authority. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.